Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, snow white, so bright. Welcome back, Jobber Nation, to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast. Just me, Vogel, here today. Face is still on vacation. He's just getting some things ready for the big surprise that we have for the new year. So as promised last episode, this will be our best of Jobber Podcast episode. This episode will have some clips, including some funny moments and something that happened for the first time since 2019. And that's what Face and myself will be talking about in this first clip, as we talked about the first Tuesday night war between NXT and AEW. Did we like how NXT pulled out all the stops? Take a listen.
In this corner, from Orlando, Florida, we have NXT. And the challenger, on a Turner Broadcasting fumble, from Jacksonville, Florida, we have AEW Dynamite. That's right. Haha, poet didn't even know it. NXT and AEW will be we're facing off on Tuesday night for the first time since 2019, when they were both on Wednesday night.
This is very true.
AEW had the better ratings during that span in 2019, which forced WWE to move the black and gold brand back to Tuesday nights. But this episode of NXT was different. Why? Because Triple H and HBK busted out all the stops.
They overly stacked it, and oh, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't care for it.
I'm in the same boat as you. Here's all the main roster people that you had pop up that I just glanced over. There could have been more. There could have been less. I don't know, but this is all who I remember seeing there. Asuka, Cody Rhodes, Dirty Dom and the Judgment Day. Hey, that makes for an awesome band name right there, dude.
Dirty Dom. It really does, though.
I'm trademarking that shit. And LA Knight as a special guest referee. You also see appearances by legends Cena and The Undertaker.
What the hell?
I'm with you, though. I thought it was overdone. It more or less, for me, felt like an anniversary show. You know how they had like all the legends come up, like a Raw 30 or Raw 25, you know, where they had all these people and they didn't really have set storyline matches. I mean, yeah, I'm not the biggest NXT person. I don't watch NXT religiously like people have.
I do not either. I don't know anything about NXT, so.
I mean, I used to watch it a lot. Of course, that's when, like, Big E was down there. Seth Rollins was down there. That's after they transitioned from, like, Ohio Valley Wrestling and Florida Gulf Coast or Florida Coastal Wrestling or whatever it was, or Florida Championship Wrestling, whatever the fuck they called themselves before NXT.
Right,
but that's where I was more familiar with, was more like that. But now, I mean, I can maybe name like a handful of NXT superstars, and I think that that's also doing bad for the WWE, is because you want people to watch this brand, but yet you're sending all your main roster talent. No, not all of them, but the big draws.
You're sending most of your big talent down to the smaller show, which
exactly
in hopes of the smaller show. You're not giving the talent a push. You're just like,
oh, no, you're not.
You're moving these people like chess pawns.
It's stupid because you had a match on NXT this Tuesday that was Asuka versus Roxanne Perez. That match only lasted 6 minutes, and Asuka ended up winning it, but the match itself felt entirely rushed. Neither woman was able to pull out their entire arsenal, or nowhere near their half of their arsenal even. And it's the situation where Roxanne, she's the younger NXT talent. I would have loved to see Asuka, especially since Asuka's in her early 40s, put over someone like Roxanne.
Yes, like... I agree.
I think nowadays you don't see it too often because you don't have that wrestler who would be okay with that. Back in the day, we used to have the older wrestlers that would be like, you know, hey, why not put this guy over? We've seen it with Razor Ramon on, I think it was one of the first episodes of Monday Night Raw. He put over 123 Kid, who was supposed to be a jobber at that point in time.
Yeah.
And then he ended up getting really hot, really famous, and ended up becoming, what the hell was his name? X-Pac, you know?
This is very true. Holy shit, I forgot about that.
So it's like, why not have some of these younger stars put over, not younger stars, but the older stars put over younger stars, especially in NXT when you're essentially redeveloping it as a developmental brand. 5 years ago, we were talking NXT possibly being the third brand, and now you're rebranding it to developmental. How are these young superstars going to learn if all they're doing is going into a big match? Yes, you learn the in-ring skills from this opponent, but what does losing to this opponent do to you? It does right. nothing but make you feel like shit, you know? Like,
yeah, oh, absolutely. You want to build them up, not beat them down.
It's like, then you start wondering, whose ass do I have to kiss more to get a title shot or to get, you know, pushed more? And it's definitely, you know, if I was one of them in NXT, it would definitely be discouraging for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're bringing all these big people down. Now it's like, okay, so where do I say I'm at the bottom? I'm just going to keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed to the bottom because of all these top names are above my head. Now, where is this corporate ladder at?
Exactly.
How do I get up this ladder if I keep getting pushed, kicked back down?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's definitely, I think that's the reason why you see a lot of these. Well, I mean, that's why you've seen Adam Cole jump from NXT to AEW because he knew he wasn't going to get that main roster call up anytime soon. He knew he was going to be stuck in NXT for probably the longest time. Yeah, he had some appearances on the main roster, but it was like a one-off match or a storyline with somebody real quick, and it was finished within 1 month.
Yes.
AEW, on the other hand, had the in-ring debut of Adam Copeland taking on Luchasaurus.
But, so, I've read into it, Jesus Christ, I just did it. Motherfucker.
You can call him Edge. We all know who we're talking about.
Adam Copeland, it didn't even help the ratings, like, at all, whatsoever. It didn't really help.
Well, how's it going to help when you have The Undertaker and Cena?
Well, yeah, I guess so, but... Like, I was reading into it, I'm like, yeah, well, you only got one cookie compared to... You got an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie over here, which is an okay cookie sometimes, every now and then, every once in a great while. But then you've got like macadamia nut cookies over here that I can eat at all times, any goddamn given moment that you're gonna give me one, I'm gonna eat it.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I get it, but it's like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, and
I know those cookies aren't for everybody, but those are my cookies, so whatever.
But also on AEW, you had not only one but three championship matches that night too.
This is true.
At the end of the night, though, if we want to talk ratings and try to make this ratings war, like,
it's about, it was about 300,000 viewers off of NXT.
Yeah, yep, and they won the ratings.
They were shitting all over, but really, come on now. That was for a wrestling fan, bro. It's hard. Too much.
Well, not just that, it but was it's just, hard, you know?
I couldn't keep up.
Like, I mean, it's crazy because, you know, as a wrestling fan, especially when a promotion like NXT is on as the same night as Dynamite, it doesn't happen very often. Like I said, it was a scheduling mishap between Turner Broadcasting, and that's why they had it. That's why they moved to Tuesday night this week. With that being said, you know, if you looked at the original Wednesday night war, well, I mean, not the original, because the original was the Monday night, but the Wednesday night wars between AEW and NXT, AEW had majority of those weeks in ratings.
Yeah.
I think it's just the nostalgia factor. Like I said, it felt more of an anniversary show than anything.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like the AEW storyline, with the exception of probably the Powerhouse Hobbs and Jericho match, because fuck Jericho, he's so old, they're all decent matches. And I think to have those decent matches, and along with your top prize of the women's championship belt changing hands from Saraya, formerly known as Paige, to Sheeta. And then you had Orange Cassidy taking John Moxley's place to win back the AEW International Championship from Rey Fénix. So you're building storylines. And it just felt to me like NXT was essentially, like I said before, that casual one-off show to try to get people who religiously watch SmackDown or Raw to try to tune in to NXT and view their product.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And I also didn't like the idea too of Heyman possibly representing Bron Breakker, aka Scott Steiner, not Scott, but one of the Steiner brothers' kids.
He was
gonna try to be like that new manager. It's like, dude, finish up the bloodline. They tried
take care of the bloodline real quick and then find another.
Well, promotion to run. If you look at it too, they already tried this already with Brock Lesnar. Remember where he had that controversy? He left Roman Reigns for a little bit and went and managed Brock Lesnar and then turned on Lesnar.
That really pissed me off. I hated that promotion. I hated it.
We could see something like that. I mean, Bron Breakker is due for a main roster call up. So, I mean, never say never. But then again, at that same time, in that exact same NXT episode, you had Paul Heyman meeting with Ava Raine. And who's Ava Raine? The Rock's daughter, who's in NXT.
Fuck, I forgot The Rock's daughter was in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's more green than Jade Cargill is, and they just brought in Jade Cargill and made her into the main roster. I hope that they don't bring her into the bloodline, because then that means that we're at least another 6 fucking months of this storyline.
I just need to smash it. Just need to smash it
because Paul Heyman handed her a phone, and on the back of the phone it said the bloodline on it. And I'm just like, dude, no. I mean, I understand she's The Rock's daughter. And if this is trying to set up Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania,
I'm please, sorry, but we don't need that. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need that. I like The Rock. He can come back every now and then, but we don't need The Rock versus Roman. We need Roman versus like a new Cody. Competitor coming
honestly,
up.
It has honestly, I think the only person that beats him is Cody, and that kills me to say it.
Yeah, but Cody's what, 5'10", and Roman Reigns is like 7 foot tall. Tell me Rey how that's
Rey Mysterio 5'6".
Well, yeah,
and Great Khali 7'1" or some shit. Go on.
But you got to be more realistic. You got to kind of be realistic with it.
Remember, it doesn't have to make sense. We'll still watch it.
I guess.
In these next few clips, I drag Face into my battles because, well, he's my co-host, and that's what I gotta do. My co-host's gotta defend me, right? Well, I'm just messing with you, Face, because you're not here. But just wait until the end. He might pull one over on me.
Yeah, all in, pretty much. Any other matches that I have worth of note besides what we just already went over? There's some good ones. I mean, the one that I didn't really care for was the Jericho and Will Ospreay match. I just don't see where Jericho goes from here. I don't see.
Jericho needs to retire. I like.
That's what
him.
I'm saying.
He's awesome. He's a good dude.
I watched like highlights of the match. He just looked out of it. I don't know if it was the time differential, you know, being over in London. I don't know if it was jet lag, but he just looked behind, and it looked like Ospreay was carrying a lot of that match. I mean, I understand that Ospreay is a little bit younger than Jericho, but I just think that Jericho just needs to retire.
I think it's time for him to be commentary.
Yeah, because he does a good job as it is on Rampage.
Oh, dude, I got to see him wrestle about, oh, shit, when I was like 17. So it was like, what, 2008, 2009-ish, something like that?
I'm about to say we graduated in 2010, so yeah, about that area.
It was out there in KZU at the Wing Stadium.
Oh yeah, when they did their house shows on a tour for WrestleMania. Yeah.
Yes.
On the road to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. I have all of those pictures. I showed you the stuff I come across the other day. I thought that was pretty kick-ass. I actually got to meet Jeff Hardy after that match.
Damn, bro. That's awesome. I know how much you love the Hardys, too.
Man, I wish I had a picture of that, but now I wasn't able to get one. My phone died literally seconds before I got to meet him.
And it was like, what, $10 for a Polaroid picture?
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't need all that.
I don't need that. Nah. They upped the prices. But no, he doesn't have anything now. If you look at it in AEW, he doesn't have the Inner Circle no more. That up and left. The Jericho Appreciation Society, that went and crumbled.
I liked how he tried to bring back the List again. That was one of his favorite gimmicks. I liked that.
The best friends with Kevin Owens.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. Everything went crumbling down. Well, that's kind of like what Don Callis did to him, man. He built him up. He wanted him to join like the little Don Callis family. And he was like, all right, yeah, I'll finally do it. And then when he did it, he unveiled that oil painting of him and Jericho, but Don Callis was holding Jericho's hand. Not hand, but head, you know? So he turned on him and he was like, what the hell? So it's just, where does he go? I think right now, I think he just needs to retire, stick to his podcast.
I haven't listened to his podcast in so damn long.
Me neither.
I kind of forgot about it.
We're rivals. I'm just calling them out right now. I don't even think he'll even listen to this, but we are rivals, sir. Meet me at All Out next year. I am making this match happen. It will be a 2-on-1 handicap match, sir.
Well, let's go.
I'm about to say I'm involving you too in this.
I guess I'm gonna swanton off the top rope.
Can you see us trying to do that? Oh no, man.
Let's get it.
Exactly. Nick Aldis also announced that Charlotte Flair will be taking on Io Sky the next episode of SmackDown for the WWE Women's Championship. But then Triple H throws a little monkey wrench in that. He introduces Charlotte to newly signed superstar Jade Cargill.
Looks like I don't know how I feel about her yet.
See, I mean, they're going to start her right up at the top.
They're going to ruin her. They're going to ruin it. They're going to ruin all of it.
I think what's going to happen is Charlotte's going to get that championship. It's going to be one more step to being compared to Rick. And then she's going to face Jade. And then they're going to have a few matches. Jade's going to lose.
It'll be like a 2 out of 3 match and then or some shit. Yeah. Like that.
And then about a few months later, you'll see Jade Cargill released from WWE.
I don't want to say that, but we're calling that right now.
I mean, we've already jinxed a lot of freaking people on here already.
No. Don't say we. You.
Hey, this is an umbrella situation, like TKO, okay? You fall underneath that umbrella. I'm dragging your ass with me.
You say it, and then the next week, I'm just like, wait, what?
Exactly. Damn! I just got to ask a question. Jabber Nation, are you happy 2 episodes in a row that cursed the wrestler? Ray Phoenix, now Cody Rhodes.
Come on, man. Might as well go 3 for 3.
I know. I mean, I got to get
Nia Jax is going to get hurt.
That would be something crazy. Hey, that was your doing, not mine.
You know what? I'll take the blame.
I'll take the blame. I think the entire universe will thank you for it.
Next, we make fun of AEW's International Championship. I think from now on, either we get a sponsor from IHOP, they sponsor the championship belt. Until then, I'll keep calling it the International House of Pancakes Championship.
We got some pretty decent matches. We got Luchasaurus with Christian Cage defending his TNT championship versus Darby Allin.
Okay. AEW.
And that will be a heck of a match, I think. Well, not really a heck of a match. I right now can tell you that I expect some type of interference from Christian just starting right off the bat.
Yeah.
I don't see this being a clean pin for Luchasaurus. But regardless, I have him winning. I have him getting the pin. I have it being pin. I don't have it being disqualification. I think but Christian will, like I said, do some type of interference, get Darby distracted. The only way I see Darby even coming close is if Sting comes out and helps him. which could be a possibility. Never say never, but the way Sting, how old he is, how many matches he can take.
Right.
I don't see him coming in this match after wrestling last week.
I think the Chargers out there in the camera. No?
Sorry.
You're good. Question. So that's who I have winning that match this weekend.
I like Darby Allin for the win.
Oh, you got Darby Allin. You're going to have Darby pulling off the upset. I mean, I would like to see Darby with another reign of the TNT Championship. I know he's had it before, but I think right now, I think they're going to pin this on Luchasaurus for as long as they can. Because
I just want to be devil advocate. That's all, because I like Darby Allin.
I mean, yeah. I love Darby, yeah. Darby's awesome. I mean, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me though if they do decide to switch hands. But for right now, I'm picking Luchasaurus.
This is true. I'm sorry. I'm looking for a charger. But I got the matches right here: Orange Cassidy versus John Moxley for the AEW
International. They couldn't be like WWE and have Intercontinental, so it's got to be international.
Yeah, no shit.
We're going International House of Championships.
House of Pancakes is what I want right now. Chicken and waffles?
Not sponsored, but if you guys want to, we will appreciate some free chicken and waffles.
Fucking A.
What?
Main match that kicked off the show was Adam Copeland, Darby Allin, and Sting Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne in a 6-man tag match.
I respect. You know what? His name is Edge. Fuck it. His name is Edge. I really, really, really dig the face paint on Edge. That was fucking cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. I really
that was
that
like,
too.
Yo, I could get used to that. That's pretty sick.
And it's pretty cool that he also did it the opposite side of Darby's face paint, too. So if you looked at it, it was, it was on that very opposite side. So it was pretty cool that way, too. And I actually liked it a lot. I liked how they all came out with, like, the trench coat, too, and also the baseball bat. That was pretty cool. But yeah, we kind of predicted this coming from the start, coming from last week's episode. We figured that there's no way that Sting's losing on his way out.
No,
and we figured that this wasn't going to be the match that he was going to lose if he was to lose a match. I didn't quite like that Christian turned his back on his team.
You should have known that was going to fucking happen.
I know, but it's like the situation where he's already screwed Luchasaurus out of his TNT championship. He took that away from him. He won that away from him. But yet, Luchasaurus still stood by his side. And now Nick Wayne's added to the picture. How much longer do you think that Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus are going to put up with Christian's?
Not much longer. Like they keep, if he keeps ruining title matches and shit for him.
Well, not just, well, he took the title. He pinned Luchasaurus for the championship. I mean, Luchasaurus, that he was the champion and he's in your, you know, little faction, you know. Why would you pin your own member?
That's fucking, yeah, they're going to kick him out. Guarantee it.
Yeah, like Edge said, they're going to use you for your knowledge and they're going to kick you out. That's exactly what he said to him. And I don't see it. I mean, I see it happening pretty soon, and then that hopefully set up the Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage match that we've been waiting for, just one-on-one.
We need that in a steel cage.
Ooh, steel cage. That would be nice. I could see that. I could see that happening.
I'm calling it.
The next. Oh, you're calling it now?
We need that in a steel cage. Christian needs some sense knocked into his head.
I hear you on that one. Next match of the night, we've seen Orange Cassidy retain his AEW International House of Pancakes Championship against John Moxley.
Internet, what the fuck did you just say?
I hope I was going to catch you off guard there. The AEW International House of Pancakes Championship.
No, I AKA have to look.
No, it's not sponsored by him. It's just the international championship. but I just decided to call it the
Man, you just internet. Threw me completely off. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The Rock returns to SmackDown, but for how long? Well, spoiler, he hasn't been on since.
Oh, man, what it was a week, 2 weeks it's been for wrestling. We have
Dude, had the last a lot two weeks of excitement.
The Rock was let out of the retirement home.
Yeah.
SmackDown on the 15th. The crowd went absolutely nuts.
I don't know.
Are you a fan of this return?
I don't know. I don't know.
I honestly think that a lot of this with Cena and The Rock returning was a lot of it being, I think it was Cena and Dwayne feeling the pressure that, hey, we don't know where our next paycheck's coming from because of the strike going on with the writers.
You know what?
So why not get some guaranteed money and go back to WWE for a few appearances, get that paycheck for 2-3 weeks, whatever it may be, and then go back to Hollywood when the strike's over. And at the time of recording, they have announced that the strike is over. So where does this leave Rock and Cena situation with
wrestling? I did not know that was over.
Yes,
I actually haven't been keeping up to it.
There was a tentative agreement. I think it ended at midnight this morning. So
okay. Yeah, I kind of stopped following that. Like, I know it sounds bad, but it was just nothing but like depressing because.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean,
and honestly, side quest.
It goes down with everything.
I don't know if how well aware you are about what's going on with GM and Ford and this and that, but all of that right now is going on strike and it's trickling mm-hmm. down to where I'm at. So like,
oh yeah, it does.
I get the strike thing. I understand. Like, I get it, but like, fuck, dude.
Oh yeah, it is. It's hard. I mean, you especially when you want to get back to work. Especially when you need to get back to work, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You got to put that food on the table for you and mom and the kids.
Exactly. It's like that part I kind of understand where The Rock and where Cena were coming from. I know that they have a lot of money on top of what they already have, but it's like they need work because they don't know how much.
They don't know how to sit down.
Yeah, they don't know how to sit down. They're always on that grind. They're always doing something, and I think that's the reason why they returned. I was not a big fan of the return. With that being said, I wasn't a big fan.
I'm with you there.
Especially, you know, when you're out there with Austin Theory. I mean, he's a young guy. Put Austin Theory over. He's already been over. He's already went up against Cena at Mania. What more hoops do you want him to jump through to prove that he's the next up and coming superstar? You know, and it's like, I feel like if they're teasing that matchup, I'm not excited for it. I'm not excited. It's, you know, either The Rock's going to win and it's not going to look really convincing, or Theory's going to win and it's not going to look convincing at all either. So it's a double-edged sword.
I don't understand. Like, okay, it's like them sending Seth Rollins back to NXT, NXT, I think it was.
Yeah, and then they sent Becky Lynch down there too.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's like you're taking a job from new talent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, The Rock and Cena, they were 20 plus years ago. You know, they're a thing of the past.
The new generation. Them coming back every now and then, I don't mind, but not.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. Like what I think we mentioned before with the Trish Stratus situation where, you know, she was coming back and she was part of multiple pay-per-view events, you know? And I think she's still signed with the company as like a part-time contract or something like that. But she came back for those handful of matches and she was still wrestling. And it's like, why, you know? Why not put over a younger talent? You know, I kind of ate my words on that because the match that she did have went on to be probably one of the best matches of the night. But it's also that took away from a younger talent, too, that could have possibly also had one of the best matches of the night against Becky Lynch, too, you know.
Right.
I also have a feeling that a lot of people with The Rock's return are like, yes, finally we get Roman versus The Rock.
I don't like that either.
I don't like it either.
That's so stupid. I don't understand it. Why?
I don't like it either.
Let him lose. Let him lose to his cousin. Let him lose to Brock Lesnar. Let him lose to somebody besides The Rock.
And like, but it's like people were wanting this after WrestleMania 35 when Roman got healthy after his battle with leukemia. People wanted it because it had been his second WrestleMania back. It would be, you know, The Rock wasn't doing much, I don't think, at that time. People were wanting it, and then WrestleMania 37 rolls around. People were wanting it then. And people were wanting it for like the last 2-3 years, and it kind of died down a little bit. And not as many people wanting it. And I think it's going to feel like, if you do this match now, I think it's going to feel like a lot like Mayweather versus Pacquiao in the boxing
world. Yeah. Oh,
everybody wanted it for so long. And you had two guys that were beast back in their prime fight essentially when they're out of their prime. Well, not necessarily out of their prime, but their tail end of their careers.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense. This feels like a money and a cash grab. That's all it is.
Here at Jobber Club Podcast, Face and myself have a few things we can agree on. Pretty much like the Attitude Era was pretty much the best wrestling era ever. Who the best male wrestler of the year is in Gunther, or even who the best female wrestler of the year is with Rhea Ripley. We also can agree that we don't really care for Nia Jax, and these are pretty much our funniest moments involving Nia Jax so far since her return. Take a listen.
Do you think with the pressures of moving from AEW to WWE, you know, for Jade Cargill, do you think she'll have any issues? I mean, she was a big fish in a little pond compared to the locker room wise for AEW's women's division.
Well,
I mean, it wasn't necessarily the strongest division in professional wrestling. WWE takes the cake hands down when it comes to the women's division easily. Do you think she'll feel any of those pressures?
I think she'll have to start from the bottom and work her way back up.
Oh, yeah, she'll definitely. Yeah, she'll definitely.
I mean, that's what
I mean. I think it'll be kind of stupid for them to put her in any type of main picture right away. I think
let her build up the momentum now.
I think she'll be one of the guest appearances, make her quote unquote debut, probably do an interference or something, probably at Fastlane the next
that would be event. That'd be pretty smart. That'd be some smart marketing
because then that
get be, her yeah, to turn a heel.
Well, she's already a natural heel as it is. So, I mean, it'll just fit to her persona.
It'll just fit her persona. This is very true. I don't know much about her. That's why.
I mean, you can have her debut either at the next NXT takeover, or you can either have her debut at Fastlane, which is coming up in, you know, 6-7 days, you know, at the time of recording. Shit.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's the 6th. Wow. October 6th. Yeah, that's their next pay-per-view event.
Holy shit. Well, that's the next day is my boy's. We're having a big birthday party for big boy, for my son. He turned 10 yesterday. Wednesday.
Yep. Happy birthday to him from all of Jobber Nation.
Yeah. Nick, I'm old.
I know we are. We are. We're old and we're talking about wrestling and we're trying to have it back to the good old days, but we know that the good old days were just...
They're gone.
Yeah, they are gone. speaking of gone, I wish Nia Jax was gone.
Me too, dude.
Did you hear the injury list? She has injured two superstars.
Already?
And guess what? They happened on her return, when she returned. She has injured Rhea Ripley and Raquel Rodriguez.
For fuck's sake.
So congratulations to whoever had Rhea Ripley or Raquel Rodriguez as being one of the first injured by Nia Jax. Congratulations. You win. The prize is nothing, but you win.
Jesus Christ. Already.
The WWE confirmed both superstars were injured when Nia Jax made her return. The seriousness of the injuries and the time being missed has yet to be released. We have seen her time and time again be unsafe in the ring. When's the WWE going to learn?
They just brought her back, so I highly doubt they're going to fucking let her go.
I mean, but they brought her back, and then you injure possibly two of your biggest up-and-coming women's division stars that you have, and Raquel Rodriguez and Rhea Ripley. I mean, eventually,
all right, take your check, like, Nia Jax, and get the fuck
exactly.
out.
Exactly. I mean, she's
you're not
she's
gonna ruin.
It's bad. It's real bad. I mean, it's even bad when you have Stevie Richards going on YouTube making videos on how unsafe of a worker you are just based on the performances that you put in the ring.
All right, Nia Jax, get your shit and get out. That's what my boss would tell me.
Next match, we've seen Shayna Baszler take on Rhea Ripley.
You already know how that ended.
Title match. I mean, it ended, but I actually liked how they did this match. It was a 9-title match. It was a match, honestly, set up by creative to showcase some of the women in the locker room who haven't been on TV, that they used on TV for about 2-3 weeks in a row, and then kind of put them back in the, you know, kind of shelve them for a little bit. Because, and it's all possible candidates to take Rhea's championship, honestly. You had Zoe Stark, Nia Jax, and Raquel Rodriguez all battling outside the ring at the same time as the match is going on. It seemed like a lot was going on. It seemed like pure chaos because you had essentially two things to watch at the same time.
If I can't focus on one thing, there's no way I'm going to be able to focus on two.
Exactly. And I thought it was good, especially showcasing Shayna once more, because of course Shayna was the golden girl of NXT Black and Gold back in the day, but it's good to see her back in this championship hunt. And the match ended by Rhea winning via DQ.
She's always going to get DQ'd.
this shows us that, hey, that many of these women have been off TV for a while due to shitty creative, but we want to show you, yes, they're still here, and yes, they still could get a push for this championship. I think that's what they're saying to us. You know, like I said, they're trying to undo so many bad months, possibly years of creative overnight, and I have no issue.
It's going to take a minute. It's going to take a minute.
They're doing it right. But they're doing it right, in my opinion, right now. They're doing it right. They're trying to right the wrongs. And I feel like that's going to make up for a better product going forward. Let's see. We also have breaking news from that match, honestly. Nia Jax didn't injure anyone.
She got injured?
No, she didn't injure anyone. Oh. And she didn't get injured. Yeah. Congratulations. Right. Monday night is officially one day free of Nia Jax not injuring anyone. OSHA would be so proud of him. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. Other news. Nia Jax recently posted on Twitter. No. No pictures. No autographs. Don't ask me. I'm sick of you two-faced trolls. Now, I understand where she's coming from. Multiple superstars like Rey Mysterio have been known to voice their opinion on situations where they're bombarded with us crazy superfans wanting autographs and wanting pictures, then to sign multiples of pictures and figures, trading cards, things of that nature. I mean, I get where she's coming from. She wants her privacy as much as the next person does. And I think that when you know that you're when you know that you're going to be there and you see a whole bunch of items, you know, I would say no too. But if I see a little kid run up to me with a little poster or whatever, I'm signing that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I'm signing that. I'm not saying no to that. I think superstars of that nature, they have the ability to say no and yes to whoever they please. But I think that would be the situation in which I would approach it if I was a superstar.
Yeah, but for sure.
Just as flat out, just say no, no pictures, no autographs. I mean, this is actually just breaking news to me because The fact is, I didn't realize Nia Jax actually had fans. I mean, I just thought she was just going off of like what Ray, like a previous tweet that Ray tweeted out a few years ago or some shit, you know, like retweeted this. Hey, yeah, I don't need. No one's searching eBay for a Nia Jax autograph.
I mean, clearly somebody is.
I mean, if you are, I bet you they go for about $1, $1.50.
You boy, that's not nice.
I'm just saying what I'm saying. I mean, I bet you if you buy that autograph, I bet you when you receive it, you will instantly be injured.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, man. Can't come into work today. Why? I got an autograph of Nia Jax that injured me.
That's funny, man.
In this next clip, newly appointed SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis destroys Dirty Dom. And Face and I love it. Take a listen to our reaction on what he said.
Next, we had Triple H's big announcement. And what can I say? Our sources were right. Nick Aldis does make his WWE debut and was introduced as the new GM of the Blue Brand, sending Adam Pearce to be the general manager of Raw. I'm not going to lie. There was zero pop when Nick Aldis got introduced as GM. The crowd was like silent as all hell.
So then why don't we just bring back, like I suggested a few weeks ago, guest GMs like they did way back in the day. Every week, I think it's a new GM. I love that shit. That was so wild.
I also think, too, because Nick Aldis never wrestled in a WWE before. He's spent his time in Impact, NWA, all these smaller promotions, and a lot of people, like the casual average wrestling fan that just goes to an event just to go because they know the names of Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, all the big-time names, they don't know who the hell this guy is. Right. They can care less. You know, they just see this guy walking and be like, who the hell is this guy?
Right, absolutely. That's kind of why I wasn't really like, oh, okay, just some other dude off the street.
Exactly, and it's like, you know, he was former two-time NWA champion, and it's another piece that they're adding to the Cody story because he was in Cody's past with that NWA championship.
Oh, that's true.
He's honestly not that old, and he still can compete in the ring. So, I mean, I won't be a bit surprised if he competes every now and then, too, as an active general manager.
So another Triple H.
I mean, Triple H or Kurt Angle, because Kurt Angle was still doing it too when he was general manager a little bit.
That's true. I forgot about
that. I think the biggest pop of the night that Nick Aldis did get from the crowd was when he addressed Dominic Mysterio. And he says, I'm a big fan. And then he stops for a second. Of your dad.
I laughed so hard. I watched the recap on that. That shit made me laugh.
Dude. That was awesome. I was like, damn, dude, he just destroyed Dominic right there on TV. And you could tell in Dominic's entire promo that he was trying not to break kayfabe as much as possible because he was trying not to like laugh and shit. You could just tell on his face, you know.
I love that type of shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. And it's like the grizzled vet got one over the young guy and the young guy broke, you know.
That's funny. That made me laugh so hard, though. I watched it in recap. And, bro, when I say I laughed.
Oh, yeah. I think I played that one back a few times because it was just hilarious because Dominic was full of so much piss and vinegar that, you know, he was just looking for anybody to take it out on. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of your dad.
Next, Face weighs in on my hot takes to see if he agrees or disagrees with me.
Since it is Friday and our little special Halloween little episode, we wanted to end the show off a little different and just see how crazy or sane we really are. We're going to give some of these hot takes a little bit of hot takes that, you know, I've written down.
You throw some at me. This is all yours. This is something.
Yeah, this is all mine.
This is all
Owen Hart was better than Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Honestly, I liked his in work a lot.
I didn't like either one, but I'm going to go with Bret Hart. Or not Bret Hart, Owen Hart.
Oh yeah, Owen Hart. And plus it was like, you know, Owen Hart for me was like my favorite, my first favorite wrestler growing up.
My first favorite was the Boogeyman. Okay. And after that, I was sold. he kept eating the worms, bro. The worms.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was so weird, but I loved it.
But yeah, I just think that, you know, Owen was a lot better. His in work, his in ring work was a little bit more technical and a little bit more polished, I think, in my opinion. So, my second hot take, Bret Hart was in on the Montreal Screwjob.
Man, you had to bring up something I haven't seen in years.
97.
Yeah, I was six. Okay, I was six.
I was five.
God, you know what? I could see him being saying, fuck it, let's do it. Let's mess because, with the audience.
Because if you realize that this match, that screw job, gave us what we knew as Attitude Era Vince McMahon. The no chance in hell, you know? That's when he lived up to the theme song that he had. No chance. No chance in hell because, you know, we got heel Vince for the first time because it was revealed that Vince owned the company at that time. And it's like, oh, yeah, I do own the company. So, yeah, someone's going to be this heel guy because he was an announcer before that. He was just doing announcing. And people just took him as an announcer. So to see that he was part of everything and how everything operated, oh, yeah, we wouldn't have gotten heel Vince without it. And I think, you know, that goes with some collaboration behind the doors more than just HBK.
This is very true, and I agree with you.
My other hot take is MJF is the number one heel, not just in AEW, but in every promotion, and second best is Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom's got a lot of growing to do, but he's really good.
Dude, have you heard that the Monday Night Raw? Well, no, not the Monday Night Raw, but the SmackDown, where they introduced Aldis, Nick Aldis, and they were booing Dominic, and that was no filter in that booze whatsoever. Because even Triple H said, "Man, it's loud out here." He said, "I thought all that was filtered in."
Damn,
that was all him getting all that heel heat. So I would say that I'm comfortable with that ranking right now.
He'll build up, but
I like what
he is doing right now.
And notice I didn't say Roman Reigns was even number two. I'm putting him at number three.
Roman Reigns sucks, okay?
So that's that, yeah. And I think all right, we got another hot take. I believe that with two GMs again, we should separate the straps, put them back on the respected brands, and I also believe
and do going Monday back, night versus Friday night, SmackDown versus Raw.
And not just that, but go back to each brand having their own pay-per-view.
Fucking yes. Oh my god, I like
that. And the only time they meet together like that and face one another, like Raw and SmackDown, would be at Survivor Series. That's the only co-pay-per-view event, well, besides WrestleMania. That'd be the only co-pay-per-view event. And then bring back, remember when they used to have Money in the Bank for Raw and they used to have Money in the Bank for SmackDown?
Oh my god. No, I don't. Bring
that back too.
Oh my god. God, I'm old. Thanks, Dick.
It's pronounced Nick. The D is silent.
Lastly, we end this episode with the 2023 Jobber Club Podcast Awards.
Oh, Jobber Nation, it is time for our final segment of the show, which is our first ever Jobber Nation Awards. Tonight's Jobber Nation Awards will be broken down into the following categories.
Oh, guys, don't forget to go to doobie.gg. The code is... What is the code?
Nation 2023.
Nation 23. That's what it was. I couldn't remember it. And I don't have it wrote down, so.
Yes, it is. Get some 10% off of your order right there.
Guys, just so you know, we got some new shit coming up in the first of the year. So we need to take some time off from the show so we can actually get some stuff built up.
Exactly. Yeah, this is
we're still here. We're gonna still hear your guys' opinions and everything on our Facebook. It's just it's gonna take us a minute to get some shit taken care of. So
exactly. So yes, we will be back though. But going back to our categories for our first ever Jobber Nation Awards, we have Best Male Wrestler, Best Women's Wrestler, Best Tag Team, Best Heel, best storyline
of like are these of all time?
No, this is of 2023 of the year.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, good.
Yes,
because I'll start pulling some names out of a hat.
Midnight Express. best. Oh yeah, exactly. Harlem Heat. anyways, best storyline. Oh Jesus.
I'm just throwing them up.
Exactly. Best storyline of 2023. Surprising most surprising 2023 return and best pay-per-view event of the year. So I guess without any further delay, we will go through and I will give out my awards now. For best male wrestler, I have Gunther. Honestly, I have Gunther. I took a long thought. I was thinking long and hard about it. I was going to choose Seth Rollins, honestly. But I was just feeling like the way that that Gunther has made that Intercontinental Championship relevant again.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I felt like, you know, even though he's held on to that for over a year, well over a year, I just think that the IC Championship was in shambles before he came around and had the historic run with it.
Well, The Miz had the run with it for a long time.
And then it lost, right downhill. It
fell off the table.
It was hardly defended. Shinsuke Nakamura had it for a minute. Sami Zayn had it for a minute too, and it was just becoming like a joke, like the United States Championship is now, in my opinion.
Yes.
So I think we'll also agree on best female wrestler. I gotta go with Rhea Ripley.
I'm gonna 100%, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was doing notes. I was like, yeah, we're definitely gonna agree on the women's one. It's definitely Rhea Ripley. Yeah, she's definitely.
She's on her lately, and I'm just like, wow, holy shit, Rhea.
Yeah,
nice job.
It doesn't even look like her really, and she's definitely the driving force behind Judgment Day. So it's nice to see her continue to get her push in the singles aspect of it. And nice to see her continue to get that push ever since the COVID era of wrestling too, where she really stepped it up at WrestleMania that year. And she's been on that push ever since. And I'm glad that she's still getting that and still has a piece of hardware to actually prove for it. So it's definitely well-deserving. She's definitely my women's wrestler of the year for sure. Next up, we have the award for best tag team. Oh, man, there's a lot of tag teams that could have been deserving of this. But for me, honestly, hands down, I got to go with FTR out of AEW. They are probably the best tag team pound for pound right now, and I'm willing to put money on that. I don't see really anybody in WWE that could really maybe Judgment Day with Balor and Priest that might put up a decent fight against them.
I literally just thought of them too.
Yeah, I was just thinking that's the only other one that I could see that could have, you know, made the race a little bit closer. And honestly, I was going to pick Judgment Day, but then I forgot FTR did have a heck of a year in AEW. So it's just a shame that they don't have the AEW champion, tag team championships right now.
Not yet, anyway.
That's the only knock on it. Yep. I mean, hey, you're still not over. They could still become champs before the year comes up. Next award is best heel.
CM Punk. No, he's not a heel yet.
If I could give out two awards for this, I would. But as of late, I was torn in between two of them. And I think you already know which two I was torn in between. I was torn in between MJF and Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom.
And Dirty Dom. I went with Dirty Dom too, because I think as of late, you know, MJF had a hell of a heel run all year. But I think as of late, with him being attacked by the devil, this devil persona, and him becoming like an in-betweener where he's not really a full-time face and yet he's not a full-time heel, I think that really not disqualified him, but really knocked him down a few points in my book. And Dom just seems to get the heat no matter what. So, I mean, when you can just get booze just from walking and not even saying anything, you got some heel heat that no one can replicate. And I think this year's heel for me has to be Dirty Dom. We are moving on to the award of best storyline of 2023. Honestly,
storyline of 2023.
Honestly, it's hard to pick because really nothing really stood out in AEW or WWE really as a storyline that didn't revolve around the Judgment Day or the Bloodline.
Yeah.
But with that being said, though, I think the storyline of the year would probably have to be the Cody Rhodes story. Him trying to finish it. You know,
I'm tired of hearing Cody
Rhodes. I know. I love Cody Rhodes.
I love Gold Dust. I love Cody Rhodes Sr. Dustin, I'm sorry. But yes, yeah, I like it, but I'm over it.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that really stuck out to me. But I'm over it too, along with the Bloodline and everything else. And like I said earlier, it's going to be interesting to see now all these hats that are being thrown into the Roman Reigns mix to see where it heads towards. And right now, I think that it has to. I mean, what? You also got to wonder, what did they promise Cody too when he signed from AEW to WWE? I mean,
very true.
Did they promise him that he'd be champion within 2 years? Because if they did, he's got WrestleMania and he has to, and he'll win it. If he wins it at WrestleMania, that would be his second year return. So, I mean, I'm just saying. It would be something to think about. I mean, I know that the storyline's not nowhere near over with, but I think it's probably one of the better ones of 2023. Next, we have most surprising return of 2023. I was thinking about this one. I was like, yeah, I could go with, you know, CM
surprising. We already knew that.
No, I mean, the only CM Punk one that was surprising this year was when he returned for his final stint in AEW from injury. And he spray painted the championship belt. That was the only surprising return for him, really. But I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to go with a different route. Most surprising return, R-Truth at Survivor Series. There, I said it. I said it.
The return.
He's not there to win matches. He's there to be common.
He's there for entertainment.
Exactly, and I think that's what they were missing. Honestly, they were missing someone like R-Truth behind the scenes like that to make those antics instead of having it be promo after promo, match, promo, match, promo. You know. They could have that R-Truth comedy spot for a segment, you know? It breaks it up a lot.
This is very true.
So yeah, that's definitely my favorite. That gets my award for best surprising return of 2023.
Right.
And we are moving on to favorite pay-per-view event of the year.
Stop throwing shit at me. Because I don't know.
I mean, there's been a lot of decent ones, I would say. But I think the only one that really stuck out into my mind when I was even thinking about it was AEW's All In at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah,
I think that pay-per-view event really cemented itself as AEW's WrestleMania with how much hype it was getting, how many people actually went there to watch it. I know a lot of people that don't like AEW want to see it watched and want to watch it burn down to the ground. We're saying there's no way that AEW sold that many tickets. And then you looked and seen the live footage from Wembley Stadium and realized that it was sold out. Right. You know, I think it really cemented itself as that WrestleMania for AEW. And I think that that's something that they can build upon for years to come, especially with it being at Wembley Stadium next year, too. It's going to be interesting. I know that WWE has added a lot more foreign pay-per-view events too to its schedule with they're going to be one in Germany next year also, so it's going to be interesting to see that all play out next year.
Right.
But yeah, that wraps up my awards for that. So I know we had a lot of the same picks.
A lot of them were the same, but hey, that's cool because we're both the same.
Exactly. I mean, it's especially this year. I mean, I think it was one of those years where it didn't really have too much competition. I mean, for the men's side, yeah, you could have made an argument, like I said, for Seth Rollins or for Roman Reigns, even though Roman didn't have that many title defenses this year as he did, I think, the previous years. But I think, like I said, Gunther, that was the best pick for me. And it could have went a lot of ways with all the other ones, I think, except for the Women's Wrestler of the Year.
As always, Jobber Nation, we thank you for listening, and don't forget to check us out on our socials, links in the description. Until next time, Nation, this is Vogel for Face, and we hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and Merry Christmas to those who celebrate it, and we'll see you all next year. Peace.
My name's DMC with the mic in my hand, and I'm chilling and cooling just like a snowman. So open your eyes, let us in.